L'chaim. I'm very surprised that this is our first Ratz Tzaddik for bringing together. Is it possible?
Yes.
Is it possible? It's not our first. So L'maisa, Avi was Zaycha to get the schus for Ratz Tzaddik for bringing.
For the house.
And what a place! In the schus of the tzaddik, in the schus of holy yidden coming together for Torah and Avodah, the Rebbeinu should bless you, should have nachas and simcha ad bli day, the whole mishpacha, the whole kilo of Klal Yisrael, Michael Echel, ad bi yisgal tzaddik.
Amen.
Vad b'chol. Alright, so l'maisa, Ratz Tzaddik is very, very unique. The Torahs of Ratz Tzaddik are very unique. There's something special about Ratz Tzaddik is that he crosses all boundaries. You know, there are different parts of Klal Yisrael. There's different types of Yidden. It doesn't matter where you go. Rav Tzaddik is always accepted. Litvish, Chassidish, it doesn't make a difference. What type of Chassidish, it doesn't make a difference. Rav Tzaddik is always accepted. And so to me, there's two chidushim in that. First of all, because you have other swarm that can be learned in all different places and are accepted everywhere. But there's two things that to me, Rav Tzaddik, it sticks out in the Chiddush that Rav Tzaddik is everywhere. Number one, Rav Tzaddik is not Vertlach. Rav Tzaddik is some of the deepest secrets of Chassidus. The deepest secrets of Chassidus. Ishbitz Chassidus. We're talking about Bechir and Yediyah and Yom, Haver Lushmo and Yom. We're talking about very, very deep secrets of Torah. And for such a sefer, which is mamish, the depth of Taras of Al Shem Tov and depths of Pnimis of Torah, for that to be accepted everywhere and to learn it in every base medrash that it doesn't make a difference. Again, no matter whatever the personality of the base medrash is, Ratz Tzaddik is untouchable. That's a huge chiddush. It's a huge chiddush. It's one thing if Ratz Tzaddik was just Vertlach and a nice chassidish pshat. We're talking about serious Torah. That's a big chiddush. And number two, to me, another chiddush is that if you go to Litvish yeshivas and Oilam, they don't realize that Rav Tzaddik is Chassidish. So not only does he break through, you know, the citadels, you know what I mean, and he gets through the barriers, but when he gets in, they think he's one of them. So it's mamisha pella. It's one thing when you that by Litvish, if they're learning a piece of Kedushas Levi, so they know it's Chassidus. So it has this word. But Rav Tzaddik, they learn Rav Tzaddik, and it's like Rav Tzaddik. Rav Tzaddik is machshava. It's machshava. It's not. But it's mamish. It's a pile point. So what's this inyan? You know, I think part of it is certainly the fact that the mar mekaymus that Rav Tzaddik uses are familiar. In pre Tzaddik is different. That was the shal shudas tyrants, things like that. But his other kol sefer Rav Tzaddik, he's not using kabbalah shprach. He's not using anything. It's shas. He's using gemaras. He's using chazal. And from Chazal, he uncovers and develops ideas which are the depths of Taras Baal Shem Tov. So the fact that the sources that he's using are familiar and comfortable, and the truth is that inyan of him using Nigla and to unearth the Nister within the Nigla, that's something that that attracted him. One of the things that attracted him to the Ishbitzer, in the Beis Yaakov, in his introduction, he writes about his father. It's interesting because in the actual Sfarim from Ishbitzer, you don't necessarily, this doesn't stick out so much. But the Beis Yaakov writes that what was unique to the Beis Medrash of Ishbitzer was that all the Shurim was Nigla, was Gemara, was Gemara Pipanimius. That's what it was. All the Shurim were like that. And so Rav Tzaddik was certainly attracted to that. And you see that come out in the Torah of Rav Tzaddik. So it's an interesting Zach. So Rav Tzaddik breaks boundaries, he breaks through walls, he's Miyachid Yechudim, he brings together different types of Yidden. So let's try it for a few minutes to try to investigate what's in the Kuda. And again, whenever I talk about a tzaddik, I always like, you know, I have to, you know, sort of lay a disclaimer that we're not masig the tzaddik. This is all by way of trying to make a hiskashus, to make a point of contact. So what brought Rav Tzaddik to the Ishbitzer? What brought Rav Tzaddik to the world of the Baal Shem Tov? The Rav Tzaddik didn't grow up as a chassid. He grew up not as a misnagid per se, but as a litvisha. So he was a genius of a genius. But what brought him to Taras of Baal Shem Tov? So it's a whole maisa, but basically what brought him to Taras of Baal Shem Tov was that he was traveling through Europe in order to get a heter mei rabbanim. He, whatever the matzav was, he needed to, you know, he needed to get married. He had a wife and it wasn't working out, so he needed to marry a second wife. And he, we know that there's a cherem to Rabbeinu Gershom, right? Rabbeinu Gershom or Agoila made a cherem that a person's not allowed to marry more than one wife. And within that cherem, Rabbeinu Gershom created like a loophole. That's the pashtas that Rabbeinu Gershom created it, that there's a loophole, which is that if a person travels and gets 100 signatures from 100 rabbanim from 3 different communities, 3 different countries, 3 different arutzes, that's the language, then that will allow him to marry a second wife. And so the Maaseh Zeirut Tzaddik was traveling in order to get a heter mei rabbanim for himself. And one of the stops along the way that he was going to find to get a signature was the Ishbitzer. And so the Maaseh goes that it's a whole Maaseh, but once he was by Ishbitzer and he experienced what that was like for a Shabbos, that was the end. He stayed there the rest of his life. Listen, nothing's a coincidence, and certainly big things are not a coincidence. So what's the Hashgacha Pratis that would brought Reb Tzaddik to Torah of Baal Shem Tov and Befrat to the Ishbitzer was his efforts to get a heter mei rabbanim. What's the penimius of that? Okay, so like I said, just by way of iskashas, so let's spend for a few minutes learn about that inyan of the heter mei rabbanim. It's a strange zach. So it's like this. We know Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagoyle made two takanas. The two charamim, two cherims. He made other cherims also, the two famous ones, the two that are connected to each other. One cherim of Rabbeinu Gershom was that a person is not able to be megarish one's megarish is ishtai bal karchai. Rabbi, you know, the halach is technically a person can give a get, even shalai kiritzayna, shalai beritzayna, whether she wants it or not. But cherim of Rabbeinu Gershom is that a person can only be megarish, only give a get, if it's with the willingness of the mekabelas, of the ish. Can't be megarish bal karcha. That was one cherem. And the second cherem was that a person can't marry more than one wife. Okay? So it's like this. When you compare and contrast those two cherems, there's a big shah in the achareinim. And it basically boils down to this. There's a stir in the Ramah. There's a Ramah in Ebenezer Simon Aleph, and there's a Ramah in Ebenezer Kuf Yud Tes. Now I'm not going to get into the pratim of what the stir is, but Bekitzer, there's a contradiction between what the Ramah says in Simon Aleph to what he says in Simon Kuf Yud Tes. And the issue is how to answer that contradiction. So the Noi de Behuda has a tshuva. So in Tshuva's Noi de Behuda, I think it's the first tshuva in Ebenezer. So the Noi de Behuda brings a solution to this contradiction from his son-in-law. And his son-in-law, the basic approach that the son-in-law used to deal with the contradiction is the following premise, which is that the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom not to be megarish bal karcha is more lenient than the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom not to marry more than one wife. So that was his approach. The cherem of not marrying more than one wife is more chomer, is more strict than the cherem of not to give a get. And based on that principle, he's able to solve the contradiction. That was what the Noi de Behuda's son-in-law says. So Noi de Behuda says, like, I love you, you're amazing. L'maisa, you're wrong. It's impossible. Well, the very logic that you're coming from, that the cherem of not having more than one wife is more chomer than the cherem of not giving a get bal karcha, that's impossible. Because ben hapichu, it's mamash the opposite. Says another view, I'll prove to you it's the opposite. We have two basic kulas built in to the cherem of not marrying more than one wife, which we don't have by the cherem of not giving a get bal karcha. There is more kulas by the cherem of not marrying more than one wife. What are the two kulas? Kula number one is this idea of a heter mei rabbanim. That if a person, if it's clear and obvious, it needs to be done, whatever it is, Rabbeinu Gershom built in a kula, which is that if you travel to 3 countries, 3 different locations, whatever it is, and you get 100 signatures of rabbanim, you could have a heter. We don't find that heter when it comes to giving a get bal karcha. Another kula, the Rishonim bring down, there's a Kabbalah from Rabbeinu Gershom, that this institution, this cherem of not marrying more than one wife, was only established by Rabbeinu Gershom for the 5th millennia, for the Elf HaChemishi, which was the millennia that he lived in. But once you get to the Elf HaShishi, which is around the year 1300 or so, so once you get to the Elf HaShishi, the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom ceases to exist, and past that Tekufa, past that demarcation in history, it's only now just the minig to continue not marrying more than one wife, but the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom was only for the Elf HaChemishi. That limitation we don't find by the other chayrim of not giving a get bal karcha. So it says in Oida B'Yuda, you have two kulas built into the chayrim of not marrying more than one wife, more that we don't have by the chayrim of not giving a get bal karcha. Therefore, it says with Oida B'Yuda, so therefore it comes out, it must be, that the chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is more lenient by its nature than not giving a get bal karcha. That's why they have these built-in kulas. So the Noyd B'Yuda son-in-law was saying the opposite, that the chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is more chomer. Says to me, how could it be more chomer? You have built-in kulas over there that you don't have by the other one. That's the Noyd B'Yuda. Chassam Sofer also, Chassam Sofer and Chuvas also, I think it's maybe some Gimel, some Dal and Ebenezer, also makes the same point, that obviously the chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is more lenient because you have these built-in kulas. A hetemer abanan, a built-in kula, and a limitation. It's only for the Elif HaChamishi. So clearly, it means the reason why he built in those kulas, why would he do that? Because the whole thing is more kal, is more lenient. So that's the Chassam Sofer Noyd B'Yuda. So, you know, when I first saw that, I thought to myself, okay, fine, so listen, the son of the Noyd B'Yuda, I'm sure, was a chashev yid, but okay, I don't have to make myself crazy to figure out what he was thinking. He was wrong. But it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut. The Stei Chemed, for example, there's other sperm also. There's a lot of big names that actually say also, like the son-in-law of the Noyd B'Yuda, that in fact the chayim of giving a get against the Bal Karcha is more kal, more lenient than the chayim of marrying two wives. Marrying two wives is more chomer. So it's not just dating with the son-in-law, it's Knes Sagdoyla. There's even some Rishonim or Mashmak like that. There's a whole slew of Paiskim that hold that way. So now the question is, so Taka, the Noyd B'Yuda and the Chassam Sofer is now that they're asking a good question, which is, if according to these grouping of big Paiskim, which is that the Chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is actually more lenient than other Haramim, then why would Rabbeinu Gershom HaRagadol have built in these Kulas? If he's building in these Kulas of Hetamei Rabbanim, and limiting only to the Elif HaChamishi, isn't that because this chayrim is more lenient by its nature? So that's one kasha. Another thing. It's a strange zach. You get 100 signatures from rabbis in 3 different countries, and all of a sudden you can do it. You can marry more than one. So what's this ending of the 100 signatures? Not 99, not 87, 100. And not from one location, not from 5 locations. 3 different countries. What's the... My Pesher Dover, what's this Indian? So it's like this. There's a chiddush from the Netziv. The Netziv in his Tshuvas Meshev Dover, it's Chilek Dal Siman Dal. The Netziv says the following chiddush. He says Amar Degazach. He says like this. The reason the makar of this idea is not coming out. It's not like out of thin air. The significance of 100 signatures from 3 countries. What's the significance? So the Meshev Dover, the Netziv says like this, how many members were in the Sanhedrin? So 70, right? 70, 71. Says the Netziv, there's a Gemara in Harius. The Gemara says in Harius, the Gemara says that in theory, you could add more numbers to the Sanhedrin. 70, 71, that's the least amount of members for a Sanhedrin. If you want to add more, you can add more. And the Gemara's example for a larger number of Sanhedrin members is 100. And that's what the Gemara in Harius is talking about. That even if 100, it's talking about Parham Lover Shal Tzibur. That if the Sanhedrin makes a wrong psak, so there's certain halachas karbanas that they have to bring in, so on. So the example the Gemara gives of like a big Sanhedrin is a Sanhedrin of 100 people. It says in Itziv, the fact that the Gemara gives that as the example, again, not 99, not 150, 100, says in Itziv is because Al Pidin, that's not a random number. Al Pidin, the number of a Sanhedrin is... The basic number is 70, but 100 is considered to be a Sanhedrin, a super deluxe Sanhedrin. It's actually, like, it's a significant number. It's not just more than 70 Stamazite. 100 is a significant number. There's a certain, the language of the Netziv, I think, is something like, that's a Hayuro L'Kol Yisrael. There's a certain strength in a psak of a Sanhedrin when it specifically has a number 100 to it. Okay? It says in Netziv, we also find another phenomenon that when it comes to picking for the Sanhedrin, so the Rambam records this in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin also, is that what they would do is they would always, obviously you need new members, you know, to keep the Sanhedrin up. So what they would do is they would send people to Feher, they would send out Rabbanim throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, and specifically to three parts of Eretz Yisrael: the Galil, the north; Yehuda, which is the south; and Eivar HaYarden, the other side of the Yarden. Those three locations. And they would send fahers and so on. And whoever made the cut from those three locations would be elected to become the Sanhedrin. So putting that together, says in Itziv, that's the site of a Hetamei Rabbanim. That's the makar of this idea. Hetamei Rabbanim is 100 signatures from three different countries. Says in Itziv, that's a zecher to this inyan of a 100-member Sanhedrin, which was gathered from three different parts of Eretz Yisrael, the Galil, Yehuda, and Eivar HaYarden. So sort of based on that, Rabbeinu Gershom Ragoil made this thing that if a person wants to marry more than one wife, this is the way to do it. Do something that resembles, get a heter from a body that sort of mimics a Sanhedrin of 100, which is 100 signatures from three different locations. This is the Netziv. By the way, the Netziv says in that, based on that, a halacha l'maisa. There's a tshuva from Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that when it comes to Hetamei Rabbanim, they're supposed to be, the 100 people are supposed to be divided in three different locations. In other words, and they have to be in three separate locations. Let's say you have some rabbi conference, and all those 100 people from three different locations have to be in one place. So you're like, let's chop right, just get the 100 signatures. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, they have to be in different locations. Says in Itziv, no, it's mamash the opposite. The whole thing of Hetamei Rabbanim is because it's trying to resemble a Sanhedrin Gedoyla of 100 people. Well, the Sanhedrin of 100 people, those members were gathered from three locations, but they were sitting in one Bezdin. So says in Itziv Fakert, it's even better if the 100 people are all gathered together, because that's more resembling a Sanhedrin Gedoyla. That's what Itziv says. So Vaitim, a Pesha Dovah, saying that, again, all of a sudden for this thing of marrying more than one wife, then we want a heter, fine, and you need to get haskama from Rabbanim. So yeah, says in Itziv, we're going to be medamit. We're going to get the heter from the body, from a collective of Rabbanim that resembles not just Tam Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin that we've never heard of before, except for this random line in the Gemara in Haryas of 100 member Sanhedrin. And it's going to be of three different countries, because when they gathered together, it came from three different locations in Eretz Yisrael, the north, the south, and Eivar HaYarden. What's going on over here? So it's like this. So Rabbeinu Gershom Maragoyla makes this institution, you're not allowed to marry more than one wife, only for the Elif HaChamishi, only for the fifth millennium. Sepis. You want to make it, he wants to limit to a time period, why? His lifetime, 100 years. What's this? Elif HaChamishi. So we've mentioned other times as well. In the Kisvei Ari, we find the following principle. There is a significant demarcation point between the Elif HaChamishi versus the sixth millennium, which we're in the middle of. What is that? So the Rizal says that the Elif HaChamishi was the millennia that is the Tekufa, that is the period, that is the period of Golos. The Gezerah of Golos was the Emes and the Iker only on the Elif HaChamishi. The beginning of the Elif HaChamishi, the beginning of the fifth millennium, is when the Churban Beis HaMikdash took place. And the Toikev, the severity of the darkness of Golos, is for the Elif HaChamishi. And I mentioned this before, the Arizal compares it to a Pasuk. We know that the sixth millennium corresponds to the six Midas of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The fifth millennium corresponds to the Midah of Hod. And the Midah of Hod, Al Pi Kabbalah, is the Midah that's most easily damaged. And it's connected to the pasuk Kol Hayoyim Doveh. The whole day was miserable. For Hashem, a day is 1,000 years. The pasuk says, so Doveh is the same letters as Hoyd. So the Gezer of Golis is for the Elif HaChamishi. So once we have that idea from the Arizal, now when you see Rabbeinu Gershom Maragoyla making an institution, he can't marry more than one wife only for the Elif HaChamishi. So that's screaming. It's screaming to us that there's that this takana, this cherem, not marrying more than one wife, is something about, it's a golistic cherem. There's something about it that is capturing the essence of golis. And because this cherem is capturing the essence of golis, because of that, it's only shaykh to the Elif HaChamishi. It's not a kula. It's not that he was trying to make this cherem lenient. This is the nature of the cherem, is that it's an expression of golis. Not marry more than one wife. Because it's an expression of Golas, Memele, it only is Shaykh to the Elif HaChamishi. So what is this? So what's the meaning of Golas? What's the meaning of Golas, and how do we see it captured by this Chayim? So it says in Pasuk, in Megillas Echa, it says in Pasuk, Ki rochak mimeni menachim. What's the... Meshir Nashi, yeah. No. Ki rachak mimeni menachem. That's the end of the pasuk. Ki rachak mimeni menachem. Eini eini yard lemayim. Ki rachak mimeni menachem. Yeah. Meishiv nashi. Yeah. So the pasuk over there, Sir Yirmiyahu, very good. So Yirmiyahu is defining galus. What's the definition of galus? Ki rachak mimeni menachem. Meishiv nashi. The comforter, which is Mashiach, is far from me. In other words, from that pasuk, it would seem to indicate that Nishmas Mashiach, the reason what Golus is that we're that Nishmas Mashiach is not with us. So Nishmas Mashiach is in Shemayim, it's waiting for the time to come down, and we're sitting down here and we're crying, Ki rochi v'meni menachem. Ein eini yard v'mayim, Ki rochi v'meni menachem. But here's the problem. It's not true. It's not true. We know that according to Chazal, there's two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Rav Tzadik writes Mefurish in a number of places that every single generation has both, has manhigim that are the embodiment of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. More than that, Rav Tzadik writes that every single Yid has within them a spark of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. We're all called Yehudim. Why are we called Yehudim? Rav Tzadik says because we have within us a spark of Mashiach ben David, which comes from Yehuda. And the pasuk says the Jewish people are called She'eris Yosef, the remnants of Yosef, because every single Jew has within him a spark of Mashiach ben Yosef. So every Jew has a spark of these Mashiachs. The neshamas of Mashiach are within the manhigim, the leaders of the generation. So what does it mean? Kirachim mimeni menachem? What do you mean? Mashiach is far. He's here. You want to say kirachim mimeni menachem? You want to say that Mashiach is not making himself known? He's not talking loud enough? That he's far away? So here's the side. By Rav Tzadik, we have a klal. It's not the definition of galus is not so much that there's no Mashiach ben Yosef or Mashiach ben David. You have all the ingredients. What's the nekuda? The nekuda of galus is that Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David are not coming together. But they're not unifying themselves. The train Mashiachim, the two Mashiachs, are not unifying themselves. That's the nekuda. Now I'll explain to you what this looks like. You know, by Rav Tzadik, every different. But the Medrash have different ways of like expressing the inner Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. By Rav Tzadik, the way it always is in the following way. Mashiach ben Yosef is the koyach, is the embodiment of that quality. It's called tzaddik. Tzaddik. Tzaddik means someone who always does the right thing. A tzaddik is someone who's koyvish li'etzahara. A tzaddik is someone who believes in their strength. Tzaddik. Tzaddik is holy. Or is the rule a tzaddik. Tzaddik is lichtig. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef's avoida and the inyan of a tzaddik in Rav Tzadik's writings is always associated with what we find in Chabad Chassidus as well, which is leskafi the sitra achra, to wrestle with the Yetzer, to subdue the Yetzer, with strength, leskafi, to be kaifa, to submit, to make the Yetzer submit, to push it down, to suppress. That's the koyach of Mashiach ben Yosef, that's the tzaddik. What's Mashiach ben David? If Mashiach ben Yosef is the tzaddik, Mashiach ben David is the Baal Tshuva. What's the side of Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva? By Rav Tzadik, a Baal Tshuva doesn't mean someone that wasn't from then becomes from. A Baal Tshuva is someone who taps into such a level of bittul, to such a level of nothingness to God, and is so nothing before the Rabbanu Shel Olam that Baal Tshuva is able to unearth such a deep truth, which is that the Rabbanu Shalom is everything, and the Rabbanu Shalom is everywhere, and there's nothing that happens without God's guiding. Guidance without His will, without His light. Everything is Rabbanu Shalom. And that truth of the Rabbanu Shalom's complete overwhelming control over everything is revealed because the Baal Tshuva believes so little in his own control. Someone has to be in control. There has to be someone in control. If you believe it's you, it means it's not God. If it's not you, then it is God. The tzaddik believes in a holy way that he's in control. And that's why he's a tzaddik, right? He becomes a tzaddik because he believes in consequences and he believes in the repercussions of his own actions because he believes in his own free will and he believes that every moment he's in control of what he's about to do. That's the tzaddik. To that degree, it's hidden that God's in control. The Baal Tshuva is the flip side. The Baal Tshuva so believes in... believes so little in himself and so little in his own power that the only thing that therefore becomes apparent, what's able to be apparent in that vacuum, is that God's in control. And this is the side of what we find in Chassidus, which is that the Baal Teshuva is a side of Liz Havcha de Sitra Achra, a complete changing of the other side. Not subduing the other side, but converting the other side. Turning an Avera into a mitzvah. Being able to look at a negative experience and say, no, that was a likus. Not that I have to fix it or repair a kilu that didn't happen, right? The Gemara says in Yuma, we are well known, that there's such a thing as tshuva that turns Averas into like a shaygig, right? And there's some type of tshuva that turns Averas into a mitzvah. So Barab Tzadik, that's the classic example. Mashiach ben Yosef is about what? Even when Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't have Averas, does tshuva, his tshuva is bebechinas tzadik. So his tshuva is what? Is to sort of pull back his to pull back his desire. Like, I didn't really want to do that. I no longer want to have done that. So the thing is still an Aveir, but at least I retracted my desire from, my will from it. So it becomes a Shagig. But the thing is still an Aveir. But the side of the Baal Teshuva, Mashiach ben David, is complete his Hafchus, is converting that Aveir into it. It was all brought to Hashem. It was all brought to Hashem. So Aveir becomes a mitzvah. By Rav Tzadik, we find that these two avoidas, these two inyanim of Tzadik, Baal Teshuva, of Mashiach Mitzvah, and Mashiach Ben David, if they don't integrate, if the Tzadik doesn't appreciate the contribution of the Baal Teshuva, if the Baal Teshuva doesn't appreciate the necessity of the avoid of the Tzadik, then not only will Geula, just stall, not only will it stall, but each one will ultimately not be able to do even what their inyan is. So, for example, the Chazal say that by Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. How's that possible? What does it mean, Mashiach ben Yosef, the death of Mashiach ben Yosef? It says Rav Tzadik like this: unless at some point the Tzadik is makasher himself to the side of the Baal Teshuva, then at some point his approach of iskafia, of subduing the Yetzara and always being the gibar to win the battle, at some point it's not going to work. Because, for example, says Rav Tzadik, a person's eating. You could do whatever you want. You could fast all you want. At the end of the day, when at some point you have to ingest food, you're going to enjoy it. There's going to be some pleasure in eating. And that ultimately is is at least a seed of Yetzara. That's the, in Rav Tzadik's writings, that's the zuma, the filth of the nachash, that from the Eitz Hadas, the zuma of the nachash that injected itself into Adam that we can never really get rid of, is that sense of self satisfaction in just earthly pleasures, not bad per se, but ultimately the seeds from which will then germinate. Someone that wants to do things because it's pleasurable, despite the Rabban Hashem doesn't want them to do it. Like that sense of pleasure ultimately, you know, will result in a full on Yetzara at some point. And there's nothing that Tzaddik can do in his Tzaddik mode to get rid of that. The Tzaddik can do everything he can to stop the Yetzara from growing, from developing. He won't give in to the Yetzara, but to eradicate it completely is an impossibility. And at some point, and that's the death of Mashiach Mitzvah, at some point it won't work. At some point his own, and more than that, because at some point the essential essence of the Yetzara cannot be removed with all the gevur in the world, then there's always going to be a subtle residue of that on all of the Avod of the Tzaddik. All of the Avod of the Tzaddik is going to have some blemish to it, with the fact that ultimately he can't finish the job. Mitzad sheni, if the Baal Teshuva, for example, doesn't appreciate the contribution and the avoid of the tzaddik, then the Rabban Hashem will never allow the truth of tshuva to be fully revealed. We spoke about this on Sunday, is that as long as the Yetzirah is still making a lot of noise, then the Rabban Hashem will never allow that truth of Eina Mavada to be fully known. Because if that truth that God's in control of everything, including evil itself, if that were to be known while evil is tempting, while the Yetzirah still has what to talk about, then that'll backfire, right? Because then when you know this truth that the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere, including in evil, then you'll think to yourself, so why not just do the Avera? So as long as there's a possibility of actually succumbing to averus practically, then the light of tshuva can never really emerge because it will be too self-destructive. So only when there is the avoid of a tzaddik is there a safe space to reveal the truth of tshuva. And only with the truth of tshuva can the tzaddik ultimately do the job. They depend on each other. If there is a hisnagdus between one to the other, then both of them fail in their jobs. I'll give you an example of this. You find this with the Yitzva Tzaddik. By Rav Tzaddik, we find this, that the two root Yetzaharas that exist in the world is the Yetzara of Taiva, of Arayas, and the Yetzara of anger, of Ritzich, of murder. And they're fundamentally different. The Yetzara of Arayas is coming from a person that thinks low of himself. So he does Maisa Behema. The Yetzara of Ritzicha, of Kaas, is coming from a place of where the person feels very highly of himself. So says Rav Tzaddik like this. So the nature of tzaddik is that he doesn't fall for arayas, because I'm not a behemoth. But what he will fall into is the avera of ritzicha and of gaiva, because those are the tools that he has to use in order to become a tzaddik, right? Yisrael tzaddik says in Mitzrayim, "There's no one greater than me in this whole country." So if there's an area that the tzaddik needs birurim in, that needs clarification in, and to sort of work through, the tzaddik's inyan is going to be in gaiva. The flip side is going to be with the baal tshuva, right? The nature of the baal tshuva is to think of himself as nothing. So he's not going to have a nisayan with gaiva, that's not his inyan. What is he going to have an issue with? Well, if I'm a behemah, then I might as well act like a behemah. So his issue is going to be with taivas. But here's the amazing thing. Take a look at this. Yosef and Yehuda, right? Yosef is the tzaddik, Yehuda is the baal tshuva. At the time of where they're not, where there's some level of disconnect between the two of them, then Yosef, what happens? Yosef accuses the brothers of inyanei taiva. Chazal said that he brought Lashon Hara to Yaakov Avinu, that they're looking at the Bnei Kenan inyanei taiva. And that makes sense. Because Yehuda, which is the inyanei baal tshuva, what's his nisayon that he might fall into? Because he thinks low of himself, taiva. And what do the brothers accuse Yosef of? Oh, look at you, Moshel Tim Shalon, you're going to be our king, you're going to take... They accuse him of gaiva, because that's something that the tzaddik has any sign with. But the fact that they're accusing each other means that what? It means that they're not on the, they're not connecting. There's some level of sinna between the two of them. So what happens? So as a result of this, le'eved nimkar Yosef. Yosef is sold into Mitzrayim, and what does he have to deal with? He has to prove himself in taiva. And what happens also as a result of the mechir of Yosef? Vayered Yehuda me'achav. Yehuda is lowered from his stature, and he has to deal with the inyan of gaiva. Like that's why he was you know, him being lowered means that he has to that he's being told ben hashemayim. It's like you have to work on your humility. One second, Baal Tshuva has to work on his humility, and the tzaddik has to work on his taivas. The answer is yeah, because once they are not on the same page, if they're not locking with each other, and they're bumping heads like it was with Yosef and Yehuda, then the tzaddik is not a tzaddik, and the baal tshuva is not a baal tshuva. So this is the klal of tzaddik. The side of Golas is not that there's no Mashiach ben Yosef and no Mashiach ben David. That's not the inyan. The inyan of Golas is that these two worlds are not uniting together. That's the side. That's the real Golas. And once they're not united together, then Yosef is not Yosef, and Yehuda is not Yehuda. Where does this phenomenon of the disconnect between the trained Mashiachim come from? It ultimately is rooted in Rachel and Leah with Yaakov Avinu. Rachel is obviously the mother of Yosef Tzaddik. Leah is the mother of Yehuda. Rachel Aminu means the world of Mashiach ben Yosef. Yehuda, Leah means the world of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. The fact that Yaakov married Leah, thought it was Rachel. And then there's complications in his marriage, and it's like Kilu, there's like this disconnect. Yaakov marries Rachel, Yisrael marries Leah, and there's like this like dual personality, but it's there's never one man marrying both. Because of that, that plants the seeds of this disconnect between the three Mashiachim, which is the essence of Golas. So comes Rabbeinu Gershom Maragoyla. And Meir Gish Meir Goyal is Masakin in the Elif HaChamishi, in the fifth millennia, which is the Tekufa of Golas, and he makes a Cherem, a person cannot marry more than one wife. You can't have two wives. It's because the inyan of not marrying two wives is rooted in this inyan of the disconnect between Rachel and Leah. And the fact that he makes this Chayrim Dafkin the Elf HaChamish is because this is capturing the Din of Golas. Why would he want to capture the Din of Golas? Is because we know that the Gemara says in Ksubas that there's an ending of not being Doichek Es HaKeitz, of not pushing Gula too much. Rabbi Negershon Bar Golas sensed, he already made a Chayrim that you're not allowed to give a get to your wife Bal Korcha. What's the ending of not giving a get to your wife Bal Korcha? So the Sfarim said it. Tzaddikim already said that's why he's called Ma'or HaGoyel, the light of the exiles, is because we're considered the Kal of Hashem. And Chas V'Shalom, Din of Golas might seem like a Gerushin. So comes Rabbi Negershon, he's Mesakin. The person can't give the get Bal Korcha to his wife, which is Mechazik the Din that Kal Yisrael now believe in the coming of Mashiach, because we're not willing to be Makabal a get, which means we're not Mugareshes, which means it's only a matter of time till we have to go back home to the Beis Hamikdash. But now that there's that Takana, now there's a concern of being Doichek Es HaKeitz. So comes Rabbi Negershon Margol and says, okay, fine. During the Elul HaChamishi, in order to be mechazik the Din of Golas, don't marry two wives. Because Din of Rochel and Leah are disconnected from each other. But comes Ramchal, and the writings of Ramchal, we've mentioned this many, many times. There is one neshama, of all neshamas, that has within it the secret of being miyachid between Mashiach and bring the two Mashiachs together. And what was that? Nishmas Moshe. Nishmas Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is miyachid between Mashiach. Moshe brings the two together. Moshe himself was from Shevet Levi, comes from the world of Le'imenu, and Gula from Mitzrayim comes from Yikach Moshe as Atzmes Yosef Imoy. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is Miyachid the two. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Kuda Pnimis of Elikus. Moshe Rabbeinu reveals the simple truth, which is the Achdus of the Rabbeinu Shalom on the deepest of levels, which is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is both completely in control of everything, and we are also both completely in control of everything at the same time. And it's a stira, but it's not a stira. That's the side of Nishmas Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is Mechetzi Ulamal Ulakim, Mechetzi Ulamal Ulamata Adam. The top half Elikos, bottom half humanity. That's Nishmas Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is Miyachid the Trei Mashiach. Okay. This is the side of the Hetamei Rabbanim. The side of Hetamei Rabbanim is evoking and awakening the full strength of Nishmas Moshe. What do I mean? How many members in the Sanhedrin? So I said 70, 71. So which one is it? 70 or 71? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says in Hilchos Sanhedrin that a Sanhedrin is 70 members. But as an additional member on top, there was someone that was appointed, the Chacham, the Mufla Sheva Bezdin, the greatest of all of them, was number 71, says the Rambam, before Hilchos Sanhedrin, that 71st member is representing Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, let me explain. In Pnimis HaTorah, we have the following idea. Whenever you see numbers 7, 70, 70 breaks down to 7. There's 10 spheres or 7 spheres? Like 10 is a significant number inside, or 7 is like which one? You know. 7 always represents, within any infrastructure, the lower 7 always represents like the kalim of the inyan. The top 3 always represents the or, the nesham of the inyan. For something to be, you know, a neshama doesn't exist without a guf. Neshama by itself without a kalim, an R without kalim just dissipates. Kalim without R doesn't have any life. So it's like this. So whenever you have functioning kalim, it always means there's some level of R invested within it. But there's always there's two madrigas. Sometimes you have the lower level is where you have a system of 7 with a ha'ara, a hashpa from the top 3. The top 3 is still not part of the system, but it's just from above sending down a little bit of ha'ara. That's lower level. Higher level is where the top 3 actually become integrated in the lower 7, and the whole thing is now seen as a system of 10. And the neshama and the or, which is the top 3, is completely manifesting through the kalim. So it's like l'moshe, you have a person. A person is sleep. Person is a guf. A person is a body. A person is kalim. Right. A person is like a number 7, so to speak. Right. So you can have two levels of consciousness. You can have one level where the person is asleep, or the person is like unconscious. But there's a little bit of the neshama is really in shemayim. But it sends down a little bit of a ray of light in order to keep the body alive. Or another madrig is where the actual neshama comes down from Shemayim and invests itself in the body. Now the person is mamish conscious. What's the Sanhedrin? What's the function of the Sanhedrin? The site of the Sanhedrin can be seen to the Torah of Arishon Mishalayim. The Sanhedrin is this epicenter of Torah. The Sanhedrin is a body that is the embodiment of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of Torah. The Sanhedrin is B'makam. Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu was B'makam Ayin Al. Moshe Rabbeinu was a walking Sanhedrin. That means flip side, every Sanhedrin is Moshe. But there's two Madregas to every system. It means that when you... So every Sanhedrin is trying to bring Nishmas Moshe. It's trying to bring the Ayur, the Kayach of Moshe Rabbeinu into the world. But like every system, there's always with two Madregas. Lower level, Madrega number one is seven, with a little ray of light from the top three. And that's the usual Sanhedrin, which is 70, with one member on top representing Moshe. That type of Sanhedrin is a good Sanhedrin. It's Gevaldik. It could pass in a lot of Shilas, but that doesn't reveal the depth and the ultimate deep strength of Nishmas Moshe. What type of Sanhedrin will embody the full stature of Nishmas Moshe? A Sanhedrin of 100. Because a Sanhedrin of 100 means 70, but not one person giving a little bit of a ray of light from Moshe Rabbeinu into the 70. Rather, it's a full stature of the top three, again, expanded to 30, uniting itself with the bottom 70. And now you have the neshama coming into the guf, not just the neshama sending a little consciousness that it should be, that the pulse should keep on going, but you have a full stature. So what is a Sanhedrin? If every Sanhedrin means a revelation of Nishmas Moshe, what is a Sanhedrin that's going to be the full stature of Nishmas Moshe and the full revelation of Nishmas Moshe into the world and the iris of Moshe fully invested into the Kalim? A Sanhedrin of 100. The three locations that the Sanhedrin were gathered from was Galil, Yehuda, and Eivar HaYarden. Rav Tzadik writes in a few places, there's one sugi in the Gemara talks about comparing and contrasting that Galil with Yehuda. Rav Tzadik says, the Galil, the north, that's the place of Yosef. That's the place of Mashiach ben Yosef. Dari HaKadosh, it's fast. That's Yosef HaTzadik. Yehuda, Kishmai Kenhu, that's Yehuda. Eivar HaYarden, what are the Shvatim in Eivar HaYarden? Reuven, Gad, and Hefer Menashe, why they want to stay in Eivar HaYarden? Why they want to stay there? So the Svarim say because they wanted to remain in the place that Moshe would be buried. So what's the site of Galil, Yehuda, Eivar HaYarden? The site is Nishmas Moshe uniting Yosef and Yehuda. So what's Hetem Rabbanim? Hetem Rabbanim is a unbelievable Hisayros of Nishmas Moshe. You have a Sanhedrin of 100 gathered from three Aratzes of Galil, Yehuda, and Eivar HaYarden. All of that overwhelms the difficulty of Galus, and therefore is matir a person to marry more than one wife. That's the site of the Hetem Rabbanim. It's Davkin Elif HaChamishis. So let's go back. Ask the question on the Edom of the Night of Yehuda and the other Paiskim. If the Chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is more Chomer than other Chayrims, why do you have these built-in Kulas of until the Elif HaChamishi and Hetem Rabbanim? The answer is they're not Kulas. They're not Kulas. That's the nature of the Chayrim is that it's only for the Elif HaChamishi because it's the embodiment of Golas, which is only for the Elif HaChamishi. And the Hetem Rabbanim is not a Kula. Hetem Rabbanim means Nishmas Moshe, which undermines the nature of Golas. It's not a Kula. There's no the whole mitzias of the chayrim of not marrying more than one wife is not shaykh if it's past Elif HaChamishi, and it's not shaykh when you have Isiris of Nishmas Moshe with Hetem Rabbanim. It's not possible. Why is Rav Tzadik introduced to Petar Sival Shem Tov because of Hetem Rabbanim? That's exactly what Rav Tzadik is about. The writings of Rav Tzadik is Moli V'Gadish from this Nakuda that the Tzadik is unbelievably great. The tzaddik is lichtig. The tzaddik is kedusha. Without the tzaddik, then there's no possibility of experiencing the kulos. The tzaddik is soid oylam. Over the ma'isa, without the baal tshuva and without the depth of elukus and the depth of nishmas yisrael that's revealed through the baal tshuva, the tzaddik is nothing. And the baal tshuva is unbelievable. The level of elukus that'll be revealed through tshuva of nasis kizchuya is unbelievable. But without the hadrach of the tzaddik, is nothing. Like the Gemara says, I think Rava said in the Gemara, it says in Pasuk, it's a fascinating Gemara, Arzuru la tzaddik, uliyish relev simcha. The tzaddik has light, and those that have a straight heart have simcha. Says Rava, Arzuru la tzaddik, the tzaddik has ar, but not simcha. The yish relev has simcha, but not ar. That's Rava. That was shkayach, that's the Pasuk. Says Rav Tzaddik, that's the oimek. The tzaddik has light, simcha not necessarily, because the tzaddik is always worried about what's going to be in the next moment. Maybe I'll lose everything. Maybe I'll make the wrong move. So you can't have simcha. The Yishrelev, what's the Yishrelev? Yishrelev is about tshuva. Yishrelev means no matter what, it's always straight. You know, it's like no matter what happens, he'll walk off a cliff. Immediately there'll be like construction, there'll be a beam, just to, you know, it's all going to work out. The Yishrelev, he has simcha, or he doesn't necessarily have. And that the side of Rav Tzadik, the Torah of the Kayin is to unite the two. The Tzadik needs about tshuva, the Baal Tshuva needs a Tzadik. The train Mashiach, Nishmas Mashiach. That's all you need of Rav Tzadik. You know, there's when the Ishbitzer used to say, he said that because of the Kayin, so now him and the Kotzker can be on the same, they can on the same level. Because the Kotzker has the Avni Nezer, and I have the Kayin, as he used to say. So we spoke about this before, I think Mashav's Ishbitzer ones. They need the Kotzker and the Ishbitzer. It was also the Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef. It might, whatever, the Torahs of how it works out, the Meir Shalech, his name was Merch Yosef, which is the name of Mashiach ben Yosef. It's Begmachi, it's not like it's Sod Oilam. Mashenkin, the Kotzker's name was Menachem, which is the name more oriented toward Mashiach ben David. So the fact that the Kayin allows the Ishbitzer to be able to mimic and parallel the Kotzker in Ruchnias, things that mimic each other, things that are similar, are the same, right? In Ruchnias, there's no such thing as when two malachim are do the same thing. Everyone knows, right? You can't have two malachim do the same shlichas. Why not? Psalm, it's a din, it's a rule. You can't have two malachim do the same thing. The answer is, if two malachim are doing the same thing, it's one malach. There's no such thing as two malachim do the. Then it's the same thing. In physical things, you could have two cans of ginger ale that are the same, but there's still two because that's physical. But in Ruchnias, when two things are the same, then they're the same thing. Then all there is one. If the Kotzker and the Ishbitzer are both parallel to each other, they both have their genius, right? The Nezer and Rav Tzadik, that means they're the same. And that's what Rav Tzadik brought. Rav Tzadik brings this side, is that they're both the same. So Vashkocha brought this again, that's the meaning there. And that, this is also why all the Sfarim of Rav Tzadik are it's such a unique zach, an unbelievably brilliant mind, using nigla to unearth the simple and single truth of how much Hashem loves Yidden. That's all of Taras Rav Tzadik. It's all about that. The inning of the mind and the brilliance of Rav Tzadik, that's Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik is Ben Zakunim. He's the Targum translates Bar Chakim. He's the one that Yaakov Avinu gave his Torah over to. So Torah and Asog and understanding Seichel, That's Mashiach ben Yosef. The heart, the davener, the one that's the Oiv Yisrael, that's Mashiach ben David. The Rav Tzadik uses his seichel, some people's seichel, to unearth Avos Yisrael. That itself is the Yichud Trei Mashiach. That's Nishmas Moshe. That's the whole linen of the year. So it's Davka Bashkacha Pratis, that through the Hetamei Rabbanim, that's what brought Rav Tzadik to Taras Baal Shem Tov, to the Torah of the Ishbitzer. The Rav Moshe should help us that through the Giloi, through our Eskashas to the Kain, to the Rav Tzadik, we should be zeicher taka that the kohen should bench us with birchas ganim, and the kohen should give shefa bracha natzlacha to all of us, and he should be male tzoyisher full of klal yisrael, and he should use his brilliance and his gainess to prove, and that it should be paskin l'mamala that the klal yisrael are zakai, and klal yisrael are deserving of all the brachas, and especially the ikar bracha, which is gula itself. It should be zeicher to see that time of the yichud between trei mashiachim, those yidden that are of the camp of tzaddik, and those even there in the camp of Baal Tshuva should know that the tzaddik is nothing without the Baal Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva is nothing without the tzaddik. The only way each one of them can even function in their own territory is only if they unite with each other. That is the ikr nekuda, that is the definition of the difference between Golos and Gula, is this nekuda. We should be zeichet to have within our generation, within our times right now, the revelation of the Shemas Moshe in that way of the Miyach, the Trei Mashiachin, Vyas Gold Sadik Barachim and Rabim, Meir Vimino, Amen.